They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. That's me. I'm your host. Welcome wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whatever time it is, whatever mood you're in. Get yourself a nice beverage of choice. Sit back and we will learn together. We're continuing in this Catholic book, which, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I'm not into Catholicism. As a matter of fact, it's Babylonian. It's not even real Christianity. It's false Christianity. And it's an hybrid priesthood, as I've said before, which is an abomination to the Heavenly Father Yahweh. Period. They can dress it up, make it look. You know, if there's one thing you'll know, I'll tell you this, in case you don't know this. The Catholic Mass is just one increment different than the black mass of Satanism, in case you don't know that. I believe the difference is a book. That's the only difference. It's the exact same thing. And it's funny how the Catholics don't know that. I don't want to hurt Catholic people, but I'm trying to wake them up to realize that's not Christianity. However, this book does speak a lot of truth. They do not know that we are the true Israel of the Bible, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian peoples, Nordic peoples. We are the true tribes of Israel. And the Jews are of none of the tribes of Israel. They're lying. They're imposters in every way. And it's amazing to me because I don't think people understand just how race mixed the world really is. It's something that I've been coming to grips with when I found out about the Italians. And then I taught you about what I found out about the South Americans. And where is Ishmael in the Middle East, right? Well, I got a picture. That I saw today, and I thought I'd read you what the results are. It's astounding what's really been going on. You're surrounded by crazy people because you're surrounded by hybrids. Hybrid people, hybrid governments, hybrid religions, etc., etc. And it's just, if you wonder why your world is so crazy, you need not wonder any longer. It's crazy because hybrids are not pure. They're impure. And they have a lot of mental problems. Jews have lots of mental problems. The first mental, what do you call it, health hospital was placed in New York, and it was placed there for Jews, not for white people. You must understand these things because that's the way it really is. This may shock you, what I'm going to tell you right here. According to Nikolaj Senels, a Danish psychologist who has done extensive research into Muslim inbreeding, close to half of all Muslims in the world are inbred. 70% of Pakistanis are inbred. 67% of Saudi Arabians are inbred. 64% of those living in Jordan and Kuwait are inbred. 63% of the Sudanese are inbred. 60% of Iraqis are inbred. 54% of Muslims in the United Arab Emirates and Qatar are inbred. 25-30% of those in Turkey are inbred. In England, at least 55% of Pakistani immigrants are married to their first cousins. In Denmark, the number of inbred Pakistani immigrants is around 40%. Senels points out that cousin marriage was sanctioned by Muhammad and has been going on now for 50 generations, which is 1,400 years in the Muslim world. Now, remember, you put this together with what I told you about the Italians, not to be confused with the Italians, and the mestizos down there. You know, all the South America is full of mixed people with Jews. And they admit it. I've read you articles where they come to find out, oh, I've got Jewish blood in me. I've got Jewish heritage. And then you top it off with all of this here and all the Jews that have mixed with the white people and so on, and the black people and everything else. And you come out to a world that is much different than what you've been told it is. In other words, the Jew race mixing and all this kind of stuff, these hybrids, you're talking about a world of abominations. The Father demands purity, purity in seeds, purity in animals, purity in peoples of the world, I'll be kind, etc., etc. He demands this. And look what has happened. You heard the statistics. If you didn't really get it all, just start at the beginning of the show and listen to what I read you again. What this tells me is what I've suspected and what is seemingly coming more true and more true every day. We are just surrounded by non-whites. We're surrounded by hybrids. You don't even know what a white man looks like practically anymore. And the reason why these Jews, I've said this before, and I just want to say it again before we go into the material. The reason why the Jews promote race mixing is it's corruption, and it causes chaos in the people that are race mixed. They become confused, they become angry, they become violent, they're crazy, literally crazy. And the Jew has to race mix, and it's because they do not have the life force in their bone marrow or blood. And what has happened is they race mix for multi-purposes. One is because they want to look like the indigenous people. Two, of course, because like I said, they have to. But the advantage of looking like the indigenous people, Jews, people think Jews are white. I mean, still in the truth movement, they don't know George Bush is a Jew. They don't know George Daddy Bush is a Jew. They don't know that Clinton is a Jew, and so is his wife. She grew up speaking Yiddish in the home. They don't know that Obama is a Falasha Jew. They don't know about many of these people that have been presidents For years, Eisenhower was known as the terrible Swedish Jew. His mother was half black. Do you understand what we've been going through? Do you? And of course, FDR, Jew, and Truman, Jew, and people still don't get it. They don't know. They think these are white men. This is what I'm trying to tell you is the reason why they mix with white people is because white people have a light force in our blood. We have white, a force, a life force. Light is actually in our blood. They tried to presume and teach you that all blood is the same. We all bleed the same, but it's not true. Why do you think the Jews want to control the Red Cross, the blood bank? Ladies and gentlemen, just use your brains. The purpose of the Jew is born spiritually dead from the womb, and his purpose is to corrupt man and corrupt him utterly. While he's corrupting man, he doesn't mind corrupting the sub-races as well and using them as a weapon against us, turning them into psychos by having them all mixed up and screwed up and then unleashing them on our shores. Well, that's what I want to say, and we'll get now to Maurice Panay's book, where we've learned quite a few things here. We're on chapter 5. Now, remember, I said these Catholics that are pretending they're Christians, they don't know they're not Christians. They have no idea that they're involved in an hybrid priesthood that is a meld of paganism and Christianity together. It's not Christianity. The Mother Mary they're worshiping is not Yeshua's mother. It's the Queen Diana and all these different, you know, Isis, etc., etc. She has many names. But I'm not going to get into all that. All I'm going to say is we can find some interesting things here. So this is called anti-Jewishism. You know, I will not give any legitimacy to the term because it's being used as a weapon against our people. And I will comment on this. I think it's funny that, not funny, but very interesting that people that have been made aware that this is a weapon used against our people deliberately go out of their way to keep using the term. One of them is Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. He's been told that this is a weapon against our people, and he continually will go out of his way to make sure he uses that term as much as he possibly can. So, anti-Jewishism and Christianity. In all their ambitious and revolutionary undertakings, the Jews have always used the same tactics in order to deceive the peoples. They have used abstract and hazy concepts of playing with words of malleable importance and contents, which can be interpreted in a twofold manner and used in a different way. Like Robert Plant said, sometimes words have two meanings. Right? On the stairway to heaven? For example, there appear the ideas of all embracing liberty, equality, and fraternity, and above all that of anti-Jewishism, a word of enormous stretching power. They give this generalization diverse meanings and uses, which have the aim of laying the Christian and non-Jewish peoples in chains, with the intention of preventing their defending themselves against the Jewish striving for power and the destructive effect of their anti-Christian forces. Now, again, liberty, equality, and fraternity, all lies. This came out, I'll just let you know that this was put out by Freemasons, but it originated in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Number one, the liberty that they're talking about, and I've explained this several times, but maybe you're a new listener, and I'll just quickly explain it. The liberty that they're talking about is not the liberty that comes from the Father in heaven. See, to get liberty, you must obey, say, the golden rule, let's say. You obey, you love your neighbor as yourself and love the Father, your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you do these two things, it produces liberty. Why do I say that? Well, look at things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods or his wife or any of these things. Thou shalt not lie. You know, all these different things, right? Thou shalt not, all these things. If you say, if I follow these things, and I do, that means I wouldn't cheat on, you know, like do something with your wife in the background because I wouldn't want that done to me. So everybody obeys these laws and it produces liberty because you don't have to worry about it any longer. You wouldn't worry about me stealing your goods if you were my neighbor because I wouldn't want you to steal mine. You understand? So it produces liberty, the obeying of the law. And if everybody obeys the law, it produces liberty. But the liberty they're talking about is a much different kind of liberty. It's a liberty for queers and anybody to have liberty over your liberty. In other words, this is a liberty that is evil. And it's really not liberty at all. It actually produces bondage. And so they champion these queers and lesbians and witches and all kinds of things and religions that bring in demonic entities and so on and so forth. And that's what they're determining as liberty. And that's just a short view of it. I mean, I could really get into it and explain it to you, but that's about what I'm talking about. So equality, their idea of equality is that we, all the races, the sub-races, the Jews, which are also a sub-race, they're not really a race, they're really a mob of race-mixed people. But let's just say that they first became so-called equal after Napoleon let them out of the ghettos in France. And once they did that, they went to other countries and did the same thing. And then eventually they decided to make the sub-races equal with whitey. See, but when you talk about equality, this is not real equality because there is no equality when it comes to the races. Even in the white race itself, there's not equality. There's equality. We're created equal, but I can outdo people in certain things, and many people can outdo me in certain things. So we're not equal. It's a lie. It's a bunch of crap. And everybody knows that the equality that they're talking about, the equality of races, is so far-fetched and so off-kilter, there's no truth to it whatsoever. Not in IQ, not in cleanliness, not in any way. Oh, maybe a gorilla could stomp me to the ground, but that doesn't make him equal with me. Do you understand? An elephant can stomp me to the ground too, but that doesn't mean it's equal with me. And then the lie of fraternity, which means brotherhood. See, Christianity, we call each other the brethren, the brothers. So all the other kinds of emulations and imitations, like Freemasonry, they all talk about being a brotherhood. And they had the Negroes in the 60s and 70s calling us brother. But they're no brothers of ours. You know that's true. They're not brothers of ours. They're not equal with us in any way, and they're not our brothers, period. See, again, on the equality, when the founding fathers instituted this country, the equality was between white men. In other words, we're all created equal. These Jews and Freemasons took this thing and twisted it all around, saying that everybody's equal and everybody is created equal. That's not true. And if you believe such foolish things, then you're just being tricked or you just don't want to know the truth, period. So, it continues here. This deceitful behavior one can summarize as follows. First step, the condemning of anti-Jewishism, quote-unquote, by means of skilled campaigns and to attain persistent influences adjusted to each other and of diverse energy, which are exercised either by socialist forces, which Jewry controls, or which are carried out by their secret agents who have smuggled themselves into the Christian institutions, into their churches, or into their governments. In order to be able to do so and attain this first step, so that one after another of the religious and political leaders condemns anti-Jewishism, they give this first step its importance. You understand that? Do you see that that's going on today? That one by one, everybody is condemning anti-Jewishism. They're deliberately creating Jewish anti-Jewishism in the governments, I've told you this, so that it is in plain view. They promote it heavily, and it's all being funded by them, and it's all being caused by them. This is just another problem-reaction-solution. What this means is, the solution is they want to make laws where you can't speak against the Jew so that if the Jew can murder and you can't say anything about it, the Jew can do anything it wants to do, but you can never speak out against it or against the Jew in any way or even mention the name Jew. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand how dangerous that would be? Because that's what they're doing. So the problem, the solution is they want to create these laws and outlaw anti-Jewishism, you understand, in every form and faction. So what they do is they create a problem with anti-Jewishism, like in the governments, like they even write on their own synagogues and everything and put swastikas, and there's a thing about that there's 70% of hate crimes are hoaxes. So this is the problem, so that the people can see the problem. They can say, oh, we need you to outlaw anti-Jewishism because this is so horrible and unfair. It's problem, reaction, solution. People, it's being done to you in 50 ways till Sunday, you know, 1,000 ways till Sunday. 10,000 ways till Sunday. You know what I mean? And people fall for it every time. Let me give you a stark warning. If they ever get it to the like they had it in Russia, if they get it to the point where they put these laws in, they'll kill everyone they want to kill and nobody can say a thing. They'll put diseases on the people and nobody can say a thing. They'll rip off people more and more and more and more, and nobody will ever be able to say a thing. They'll kill our children on the child murder ritual sacrifice table, and nobody will be able to say a thing about anything that goes on. Ever. We're continuing. As a racial discrimination of the same kind as is carried on by the whites in different lands against the Negroes, and conversely by the Negroes against whites, also they represent anti-Jewishism as a racial consciousness, which regards other races as inferior, and which therefore resists the instruction of teaching and teaching of the martyr of Golgotha, who on his part established and confirmed the equality of men before God. That's a lie. See, these Catholics do not know. They're speaking of Jesus. They're trying to say that what he did was to establish the equality of men before God. No, that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He did not come for Chinamen. He did not come for Negroes or any of these other sub-races. Ladies and gentlemen, you're being tricked so heavily, it's unbelievable. Now, B, as pure hatred towards the Jewish people, which stands in contradiction with the highest principle of Christ, love one another. You know, this trickery of the Jew has trained us. I had a brother write me, and I believe he's exactly right on the money. He said in the Judeo-Christian churches, which is an abomination because it's an hybrid priesthood, and it's, I call it the Jewish version of Christianity, which is not real Christianity. They teach those people to love your neighbor. And this is another distortion that the Jews like to do with the scriptures. See, loving your neighbor has to do with, you know, and forgiving your neighbor has to do with the people of the tribes of Israel, which the Jews are not, or the Negroes are not, or any of the other sub-races are not. See, say if a fellow in your own tribe does something to you, and he's your enemy, you're to forgive that brother. Or if he's a member of another tribe, you're to forgive that brother. We're to forgive our enemies of our own tribes. There is nothing in the scripture that tells us that we're supposed to forgive any Jews or any of these Negroes that rape our daughters and everybody else. You're being tricked. See, as an attack upon or condemnation of the people which gave its blood to Jesus and Mary, the Jews have described this argument as irresistible. By giving these or other such interpretations to anti-Jewishism, the Jews or their agents who have penetrated into Christianity have wrong-footed the charity, goodness, and good faith of many Christian rulers and even highly regarded religious personages, be it those of the church or the Protestant churches and other dissidents. See, they're calling, the Catholic Church thinks it's the only real religion, but it's not even real Christianity. And so what they're trying to say is they're trying to be kind to the Protestant churches and other dissidents. In other words, you know, Protestant people aren't real Christians. Or people like myself, I'm not a real Christian because I don't adhere to the Catholic religion. So I'm a Catholic dissident from the Catholic Church. See, they're a little messed up here. When you're reading something, you have to be able to read between the lines. Wherever you're going to find truth, you're going to have to be able to read between the lines and understand what you're dealing with. So it says, for when the latter yield to such well-organized, murky, and persistent influences, abstract and sweeping criticisms or condemnations of anti-Jewishism begin to be formulated, which lack any specifics as to what in reality is being condemned and what actually this censured anti-Jewishism means. And when the real object of the condemnation is thus left so imprecise and vague, there is every danger that the Jews and their agents within Christianity will become the sole interpreters of such weighty decisions. Now, when I was thrown off of YouTube, I had made a picture, and it says, "We Jews decide what hate speech is. If you don't like that, that's hate speech." So they determine what hate speech is, just the Jews. Nobody else gets to determine that. And if you don't agree with that, that's hate speech. You understand? So it continues. If the high religious personages who are exposed to the indescribable pressure would at least pay heed to describing exactly what they understand by this anti-Jewishism, which they condemn, the danger is lesser. For in condemnation, expression should be exactly defined, which one condemns. For example, racial discrimination, or hatred towards a particular people. Well, let me tell you that the Bible, the scriptures, the book about the race of Adam, is full of racial discrimination, because the Father in heaven discriminates racially. Does that sound shocking to you? But it is true. Just remember again, if the Father, or Jesus, which is the Father in the flesh, if they wanted to save all people, why would they be speaking in parables so that some people wouldn't understand? Why did he speak in parables? If he wanted all the people to be saved, why did he speak in parables? Good question, isn't it? Because he never intended in saving all people, especially the Jews. The Jews were put into the priesthood at the time of Christ by Herod the Edomite Jew. These were all Edomite Jews. They hated Christ. They hated what he did. They were antichrist to the hilt. You talk about antichrist in the world, right away, just like in our governments today, we have all these Jews. Well, that's what happened in those days. Notice how the people, people that read the newer part of the Testament, because it's just one Testament all the way through, there's no Old or New Testament, is the older part of the Testament and the newer part of the Testament, period. You have to realize that these people were put in the priesthood at this time. When I talk about the fact that Cain, who was an hybrid himself, he killed his brother Abel. He was and lied right to the face of Yahweh himself. But Yahweh let him go, knowing that his future progeny would be the ones to kill him, to crucify him. And that's why he told those Edomite Jew priests that were in the government. See, the government was both the priesthood and the government in those days. So he told them that they were guilty of all the blood that was shed from Abel to Zacharias, whom they slayed in the between the temple. And you have to understand, how could he say that they were guilty of the blood that Abel shed? Well, it's because they're his progeny. They are Cain's progeny. You understand what I'm saying? That's as simple as it is. See, when he did miracles, the priests got upset. But the people of Israel, the normal citizenry of Israel, were overjoyed and rejoiced. Can't you see that when you read these things? Can't you see that something's wrong with the priesthood of Israel? That they wanted to kill Yeshua? That they wanted to kill the disciples when they did these good things? While the rest of the true Israelites rejoiced when they did these things. They rejoiced at the good news of the gospel. The Jewish Edomite priests tried to shut it down back then. They put them in jail to shut it down. They killed them to shut it down. You understand? Nothing's any different today, right now, than it was then. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same old song. So, if the Jews also possess the boldness to raise a claim for a final all-embracing definition of anti-Jewishism, in order to skillfully enlarge the radius of the effect of its condemnation, it is easier to prove the sophistry of their approach. Now listen, don't you find it interesting that they don't call this anti-Jewishism? You know why they don't? Because they would sound like they were being paranoid that way. Just to explain it to you, Shem, is whom the white people came from. Of course, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, right? But Shem, Shemitism, Shemites. You know, there used to be all kinds of white people in the Middle East, including us. And then we went over the Caucasus Mountains into and inhabited Europe and established the nations, as the seed of Abraham was said would happen. No, Abraham wasn't a Jew. No, Moses wasn't a Jew. And no, the Jews aren't Semites. See, the term anti-Semitism, which I'm not, you know, I'm just explaining, what it means is anti-white. It's a joke on you, dear white people. Because the Jews aren't Semitic people at all. They're not white. So anti-Semitism means anti-white. So I deliberately change it because it's being used as a weapon against you, dear people, against me. I changed it to anti-Jewishism. We want to make sure it's really clear what they're trying to say, anti-Jew. That's what they mean by it. This is weaponry, word weaponry, word smithing. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I mean, I know that you people understand lots of things. I just want you to understand what the ramifications of using this term are. Don't use the term. Don't give them legitimacy and help them use this as a weapon against your own people like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock does. Stand up for the truth. Don't be afraid. Don't go tiptoeing through the tulips like a little fairy. Stand up and defend the faith. Stand up and defend your race. Stand up and defend the Father in heaven. And above all, the truth, which comes from the Father in heaven. Stand up and defend the truth at all costs. Second step, really above all, is the Father. Defend the Father himself. Second step, after the Jews or their secret agents have attained these condemnations, they give the words a different meaning than was intended. In order to preserve these judgments, then anti-Jewites will be described as those who protect their countries from the attacks of ambitious Jewish striving for power, in that the former make use of the natural right which all peoples possess to defend independence and freedom. Number two, though, so this is what, you know, anti-Jewites would be described as, those who protect their countries from the attacks of ambitious Jewish striving for power. Number two, those who exercise criticism of the disintegrating activity of the Jewish forces which destroy the Christian family and degenerate the youth, and who combat these effects. That's an anti-Jewite too. Number three, those who in any kind or form censure or combat hatred and racial discrimination, but which the Jews believe they have the right to exert against Christians, although they hypocritically attempt to conceal it. In those who in any kind of form broadcast the misdeeds, offenses, and crimes that were committed by the Jews against Christians and demand deserved punishment for this. Number four, those who snatch away, I'm reminding you that this is the definition of what an anti-Jewite is. Those who snatch away the mask from Jewry as leader of communism or of Freemasonry and other underground movements like Antifa, an attempt to attain that necessary measures are put in force to prevent disintegrative activity in the circle of the Christian family. Number five, those who in any kind of form resist the Jewish activity that has the aim of destroying the church and Christian civilization in general. This dirty game is apparent to attain the censure or condemnation of an anti-Jewish Jewishism, which they equate with a racial discrimination or with an outbreak of hatred against peoples, which is exercised against the Jews, both, however, contrary to Christian teaching. In order to afterwards give the new words, the word new meanings, and to attempt to bring it about that those who defend the church or their nation, their family, or their natural rights against the attacks of the Jewish hunger for power are bound hand and foot and are thus incapable of carrying out such a justifiable defense. In order to attain this, the open and secret Jewish forces set up a loudly resounding apparatus of propaganda and of lamentation by setting up a complaining outcry about the anti-Jewites who make use of the right of self-defense. You see, it's what I'm saying. If we allow them to make these orders, to make these laws, we will have no defense any longer. We will not be able to stand up against it. To cry out against it would mean your very death immediately. You don't understand what you're playing with. You know, even Donald Trump, who is a Jew, does not understand what he's dealing with, obviously. He's a very naive. He's very, very naive. They cry themselves hoarse with their assertion that the Catholic Church condemns anti-Jewishism. And in the name of the church, they condemn such leaders who, so they assure us, no believer may support in this anti-Jewistic work of defense of his people, his family, and of the whole of the church against the revolutionary activity of the Jewish striving for power. A clumsy maneuver, but it succeeds in sowing confusion and calling forth disorder and weakening the activity of these estimable leaders in the defense of their peoples and of Christian civilization. This is the securest form which they have conceived. In order to obtain the victory of the Jewish Freemasonic or Jewish Communist revolutions, these procedures have secured the triumph of Jewry in recent times and called forth the corresponding catastrophe that threatens the Christian world. For this reason, this matter must be studied and thought over fundamentally by us all, who are obligated to defend the church and our country against anti-Christian striving for power that modern Jewry represents. Well, that's a mouthful. And it's pretty much heavy-duty stuff. Because this is the danger of this problem reaction solution game that they're playing right now. I've never heard anybody say this about that, what I had told you about them deliberately making this happen in all the governments of the world. It's deliberate. Because it's the problem reaction solution deal. The politicians are in the view of the people all the time and in the media all the time. And of course, their anti-Jewishism is displayed heavily and on purpose. Do you understand? Because they want the solution. They want the people to cry out for the solution. It's the same with the guns. They want to take the guns away from us so they can spill our blood. Make no mistake, they want to kill. Like they did in Bolshevik Russia, like they did in Germany, like they're doing in South Africa now, like they've done in all the countries, white countries of the world. They want to kill. They want to shed blood, innocent blood. You know, killing our children, innocent children on the abortion table is just not enough blood for them. They need more blood. And they will not stop. So what they want to do is they want to take the guns away from us. And as soon as they get the guns away, they will begin to shed the blood. So they're deliberately having the niggers go out and do multiple shootings and everything else. And there's very few white shooters. I've seen this year's shooters, and you could see it on my wall of shame on davidjamesboston.com. You'll see even the people that you think are white, some of those aren't even white. I already told you that the fellow from El Paso, his father is a Jew. Funny how they don't mention that, huh? So they're creating all these shootings so that the peoples of our countries will cry out, you've got to take the guns away. You've got to take the guns away. And this is just what they wanted in the first place. That's called problem reaction solution. Again, you have a solution that you want, so you create a problem so that the people will call out for the very solution that you desired in the first place. So it continues. An example of this incredible maneuver is shown to us by the following case. The highly regarded Catholic writer Vincent Risco describes to us how certain organizations which were founded for the conversion of the Jews, waste of time that is, are more effective in their defense of the Jewish race than in their conversion. The Lehman Brothers, for example, used the devout zeal of the Catholic Church more for defending the Jewish people than for attaining successful results in conversion. When, therefore, the Catholic writer Drumont revealed in the past century, in his France Juive, the Jewish conspiracy that attempts to destroy Christianity and to rule the French people, Peter Lehman answered in defense of his race and hence contributed to the defeat of the Catholics in France and to the order of Our Virgin of Zion. Oh boy. Catholic jargon. Which was founded by newly converted Jews and which dedicated itself more to the purpose of defending the Hebrews. They're not Hebrews, Mr. Catholic man, who are members of the synagogue of the devil, than converting them to the truth. You can't convert devils to the truth. You people just don't get it, do you? When you force Jews to convert to a Christian religion, they just pretend that they're converted and they continue doing their Satan worshiping to their father, the devil. But you've actually helped them by making them pretend to convert so that they can penetrate institutions of Christianity, so that they can do business with Christians, so that they can penetrate your governments, our governments, whatever. You cannot convert devils to the truth. So it continues. In the present century, another association was founded in order to accept the Jews into the church by means of their conversion. You can't do that. Light has no fellowship with darkness. Such a devout ideal was very popular, and it was successful in arranging countless demonstrations of confidence by clergy and laymen. The educated historical writer Vincente Risco says about this, to it belong countless influential and rich believers, bishops and even cardinals. They carried on propaganda and published a pamphlet speaking for the Jews under the title Pax Super Israel. This association began to advocate strange teachings, which stood on the fringe of the unfalsified spirit of the Catholic Church. No, it's a false. The spirit of the Catholic Church is the devil. They have claimed that Lucifer is their god. Let's not play any games here. Pardon my passion. The Catholic Journal says this. They said that one might not speak of the conversion of the Jews, but of their reception into the church, as if the Jews, in fact, need not give up their false belief. They rejected the epithet God-murdering people, which was applied to the Jews, and God-murdering city applied to Jerusalem, as though the Jews had not contributed to the death of Jesus, and as though church language had not called them traitors. I call them Christ killers. They've been known as, you could call them God murdering people. Yes, they're Christ killers. They're antichrist, period. You don't bring an antichrist into the church. They accused the popes because they had not understood the Jewish people, as though the latter, the Jewish people, were not guilty of voluntarily remaining in Judaism. Finally, they maintained the Jewish nationality of Jesus Christ. No, they're not. Jesus is not a Jew. And alluded to the fact that Christians, by means of Holy Communion, unite with the Jews and enter into blood relationship with them. You see, that's exactly a bunch of hooey. And Jesus Christ is not a Jew. Clearly, he's not a Jew. I guarantee you he's not a Jew. I have done, go and listen to my special teaching on chapter 8 of John. You've never heard a teaching like this before. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, it proves that Jesus Christ is not a Jew. Without question. Naturally, this was going too far. The church could not tolerate it, and the Inquisition court saw no alternative than to intervene. Since among such arrogant friends of Israel, quote-unquote, there were many honorable believers, bishops and cardinals, the court, in its decree of the year of 1928, spoke no formal punishment, but resolute in this, banned the association and the pamphlet, Pax Super Israel, which had been the cause of the intervention of the church court. Now, I'd like to see, just pardon me for a moment, while I see if this can be found. .pdf. Let's see if it can be found. Pax Super Israel. Well, I don't see. The Catholic thing. Well, I'll have to look for it later. I don't have time right now while we're doing what we're doing. And we're almost out of time. This has been one fast hour. Wow. So it continues. Divine support became evident a further time when this recent conspiracy was destroyed, which had reached into the highest circles of the church, the Catholic Church. This example is very actual, for as we have experienced, they call them the Israel. They're not Jews are not Israelites. The Jews planned far more weighty acts against the Second Vatican Council of 1963, when they used the holy zeal of faith for Christian unity and talks with the Jews. In order to attempt to attain that, decisions were made relating to the Jews that would not only contradict the doctrine that has been defended by the Catholic Church over centuries, but would also, in almost imperceptible form for the great majority of the Council Fathers, represent a silent condemnation of the policy that had been maintained over 1,500 years by the earlier popes and councils. It is illuminating and understandable that, with the realization of their satanic intentions, the conspirators would be successful in achieving that the Holy Church, the Catholic Church, contradicted itself from this world, result the most unwholesome consequences that one can possibly imagine. But what the Jews and their agents within Christianity do not reckon with is the support of God for his church, and he allows to triumph a second time against the forces of hell. So they didn't get away with what the Jews were trying to get away with there. With reference to the Jew-friendly association, which cardinals, bishops, and believers belong to, and to their pamphlet, Pax Super Israel, their condemnation through the Inquisition court by means of edict of dissolution in the year 1928 was no easy matter. There was a bitter struggle in the highest spheres of the church, as one learns from reliable sources, And when their members saw coming the unavoidable dissolution of the association and the resultant following ban, they prepared a desperate counterattack in which they made renewed use of Christian love of one's neighbor and the true-heartedness of the high personages of the church in order to obtain that anti-Jewishism would also be banned. Oh boy. They regarded it as a manifestation of race hatred, which is in contradiction with the sermons of Jesus Christ, which are based upon the guiding motive, love one another. Yeah, but he never said love the Jew. I've got to keep making this clear to you. Love one another means love your brothers and sisters. Love the people of your own race. Love the members of other tribes and your own tribes. Not meaning other tribes of the 12 tribes. That doesn't mean you have to love Negroes or Chinamen. I'm not saying you need to hate them either, but I'm just saying that this is not what he's talking about by saying love one another. You're being tricked. There is no edict, there is nothing from Jesus Christ that has ever told you to love the Jew. The Jew is our enemy. It's the enemy of the world. There's a two-seed line war that's been going on and will continue until the return of Yeshua. The wheat and the tares. We are the wheat. Wheat is not something that's worth something. The tares are worthless. Do you understand that? They're weeds. They're poison. Wheat is something that's good. Jacob is where the 12 tribes. His name became Israel. His name was changed by the Father to Israel. Sons ruling with God. And the 12 tribes are his 12 sons. Esau, his white brother, is a different matter altogether. Esau did not like Yahweh, did not love the things of Yahweh. He lived by the sword and died by the sword. He was dishonorable, a liar, and could not be counted on in any form or fashion. He would give his word and then just lie and say he never gave it, just like Jews do today. And he went and married Hittite women and Edomite women and was absorbed into the Edomites, who are today modern Jewry. You must understand these things. Cain hated his brother Abel, but it wasn't his brother, it was his half-brother, because Cain was an hybrid, a result of an unholy union between Eve and an angel. That's race mixing, folks. Well, listen, I guess we'll just have to stop right there. So, I'll just mark that right there. And as I always say at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, I give you some good advice and I tell you, don't go down the wrong hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lines that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without.